That is great. Well, if you believe that today would be a great day for the Lord to come back, could you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Right after my message and before Brother Gibbs. That'd be great. Amen. Amen. That would be the time. I got another message to preach, but if he wants to come right after this one and just before Brother Gibbs, you say, Brother Shuttler, man, I wouldn't be fooling around with a lawyer. You know what? They can really get back. He's got the last word, but I'm not going to be here. I'm leaving right after my message, so he can't get me back. You know, he may say whatever he wants, but amen. Glad he made it too, man. He just made it in time. And that is great. We have had a super time at your church, and I mean that. I can't wait to go back home. I've been gone for a week. We did a youth conference up in Portland, Oregon, Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this past week, and then came in here. And I have thoroughly enjoyed the spirit of your church and the time that we've been here. But I am looking forward to getting on a plane and going home. And if the rapture comes tonight, that would even be the best thing. And I do mean that. I look forward to that. I also want to tell you how much I've enjoyed your pastor. I really, you know, I've known Willie Weaver. We went to Mexico one time. We've talked a few times. But I have thoroughly enjoyed my last 3 days with Brother Weaver. And just getting to know, I think I got a new friend. I'm going home with a new friend. And the staff, I have so enjoyed the staff, except for Brother Rigsby. It has been such a blessing. And this guy is witty. For as old as he is, it is amazing his wit that he has. I didn't think at that age you're able to do that. But he's got some quick ones. He really does. And thoroughly enjoyed them. Brother Tyler and Brother Andrew, you guys are blessed. I am telling you, you have a great staff, and the staff loves each other as well, and that's really special. Okay, we want to get started. Just before we get started, though, I wanted to mention two books tonight. One, I do know that you do not have a Christian school here, and a lot of your young people or whatever go to public school and whatever. I want to encourage you to do something, maybe with a gift certificate or whatever, but for a Christmas gift for your child's teacher, I encourage you to get this book tonight, 101 Tips for Teaching. And it really, there's going to be some great spiritual things in there, and it could be a blessing for it. And they say, well, maybe my teacher will take that the wrong way. But no, I think it'll be a real encouragement and a real blessing. It may be a way to help open a door to evangelize your teacher of your children as well. And then Carrie Schmidt, who was on the staff there for years, wrote a book. He got cancer, and he wrote a book entitled Off Script. And if you are going through something that you didn't think was part of the script, I really encourage Carrie's book. Maybe you know somebody who's going through cancer or a very difficult valley in their life. This little book here, Off Script, and this would be great for the teachers. 101 Tips for Teachers. Let me encourage you. You say, well, Brother Shuttler, if you're leaving right after you preach, who's going to sell these books to us? And that would be Dan McCoy. Dan's going to do that for me, so he'll be by the table. So if you go by and pick those up, that would be great. I think that'll be a blessing to you. Well, we've learned a few things in the last few days. We learned who protects the protectors. We learned the most important word in the Bible on prayer is importunity. And last night we found out who Ahithophel was. So you know, at your Bible conference, you've learned some things. And I think that's what it's all about. Tonight, we're going to learn the most important chapter in the book of Joshua. I have the privilege of teaching 7 classes at West Coast. And that was a little overwhelming for me. And I love every one of my classes. But I got to tell you, Joshua has just been a real blessing to me. I started about 4 months ago preparing for the book of Joshua for my class. I went ahead and did it for my devotions this summer. And the Lord showed me things. I've preached through Joshua before, but I have never been so impacted by this book as I have in the last 4 months. No passage of Scripture has spoken to me more than the book of Joshua in the last 4 months of my life. And no chapter of the book of Joshua has spoken to me greater than Joshua chapter 5. And I want to talk to you real quickly about Joshua chapter 5 tonight. There are 4 events that occur where Israel is in Joshua chapter 5. They have just crossed over the Jordan, and they have gone to a place called Gilgal. Gilgal. Can you all say that place? Gilgal. And there are four events that occur at Gilgal that are life-changing for Israel. And I'm going to tell you this. The rest of the book of Joshua is dependent upon what occurs at Gilgal. You have no sun standing still, and you have no Jericho victory, and you have no victory up at Hazor. You have no victories if you do not have Joshua chapter 5. It is the pivotal chapter of the entire book. And I believe the theme of the book of Joshua is victorious Christian living. If that is true, then the key to victorious Christian living is found in Joshua chapter 5. Four things happen. I'll tell you right now what they are, and we'll go back and we'll look at them very quickly tonight. The four things that happen: number one, they build a memorial. Number two, the guys that came in, that were born over the last 40 years, all the males get circumcised. Number three, they start Passover again. You know, they've only had three Passovers in 40 years. They had the one the night of Passover, the first Passover, a year later at Mount Sinai, and then 39 years have gone by since they've had another Passover. So we have, they built a memorial, they started circumcision again, they started the Passover again, and manna ceased. All four of these events occurred at Gilgal, and I believe these four events give us the keys to a victorious Christian life. And they will show us how to have revival in our lives. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll start in Joshua chapter 5. Father, thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray, Lord, that the material that we cover and what we look at tonight will be helpful the rest of these folks' lives. And Lord, I believe the majority in here, maybe everyone in here, is a Christian. Well, now, Father, they need to live the victorious Christian life. And, Father, no longer living in the wilderness, but now crossing over Jordan. And now, Lord, it may even tonight be a Gilgal experience for some believers that are in this room. And, Lord, I pray in the days ahead, they will not soon forget what happened to Israel at Gilgal, what happened to them spiritually in their life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I trusted Christ as my Savior at 12 years of age. But from 12 to 18, I lived in the proverbial wilderness of my life. It wasn't until I got to Bible college that I would have said I crossed over into the victorious Christian life. From 12 to 18, if you would have known me, you would have said there is no difference between that young man and anyone in the world. And that would have been true. I was truly saved out of Egypt, but I wandered for 6 years of my life. Thankful to God, it wasn't 40 years. I also believe that I've always had a burden for young people because I squandered my teen years. But it was then when I was 18 that I began to live a different kind of spirit-filled life. And I think it was kind of me crossing over the Jordan. Do you know that you could look basically at all of Israel's ancient history with them crossing two bodies of water? Basically, all of Israel's history is them crossing the Red Sea, which is a picture of their salvation, and them crossing the Jordan River, which is a picture of their sanctification. And really, all of Israel's history can be bound up in them crossing two bodies of water. And by the way, they crossed both of them on dry ground. And the way that they crossed the Red Sea by faith is exactly the way that they had to live the victorious Christian life by faith in crossing the Jordan River. I want you to see these four things tonight and we'll be done. Number one, the building of the memorial. Number one, remember to rejoice. Remember to rejoice. Now, you've got to go look just really quickly at Joshua chapter 4 for just a moment. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 6, it says this, that this may be a sign among you. Now, they did this at Gilgal, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Let me tell you what they did. They took the 12 tribes, they each got their own stone, they brought it out, and they built a memorial. And the reason why the Lord did this was for them never to forget what God had done in their life. After 30 years of ministry, and after hundreds, and I believe, oh, I could easily say thousands of hours of counseling people, I truly believe this. There are only two reasons why anyone should ever go to their past. Only two reasons why you should ever go to your past. Number one, for God's lessons He's taught you. And number two, God's love He's shown you. The only two reasons you should ever go to your past is either the lessons that God has taught you or the love that God has shown you. And here at Gilgal, they built a memorial so that they could bring their children and so that they could remember and they could say, God has been good. God has been good in our life. I want to encourage you, remember to rejoice. One of the steps of revival and the victorious Christian life is to remember what God has done in your life. We're coming, we're in Thanksgiving time. And this is, by the way, I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday of the whole year. Love Christmas, 4th of July, two thumbs up. My birthday's kind of cool. But I will tell you, the day I love the most, I love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving, and you know, for a lot of reasons. I love the time of the year and everything, but I love Thanksgiving because of what we get to do. We remember what God has blessed us with. And it is a good thing. It is a good thing to go back through your life and thank God for what He's done. And you have memorials. Now let me tell you what your memorials can be. They can be places. You know, Brother Shetler, I got a place here in Dallas. God did something in my life at that place. Matter of fact, it may be down at this altar. It may be this church. It may be another church somewhere. It may be a location somewhere else. You know, I will tell you this. God has guided and directed my life. But I do mean this. I will always thank God for Pensacola Christian College. You know, it's funny. I've heard preachers give series of messages on titles of the Lord, on names of God. And they preach this message. Well, now tonight we're going to study another name of God, Jehovah Jireh. That is not a name of God. Jehovah Jireh is not a name of God. It's a name of a place. Abraham named on the top of Mount Moriah. He did not say this is a name of God. He named the place Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. And it was there on Mount Moriah that God provided a ram instead of Isaac. And He named the place Jehovah Jireh. As long as I live in my life, Pensacola Christian College was a Jehovah Jireh for me. It was a place that God proved Himself to me. And there was a place. And matter of fact, I remember there's an old building called the St. John Building, and the upstairs, in the attic of the upstairs, some of us guys used to get up there. We got little rooms up there, and we had little prayer rooms. And all what God did in those prayers as a young man, that changed my life. That was my Jehovah Jireh place. I look back sometimes when I get discouraged, and I go in my mind to a place that God provided. That's a good thing. It can be places, it can be possessions. You know, Brother Shetler, I got a car in the parking lot right now that is a thing of God. It was a God thing. It was now some of you say, I got cars out there, it's a double thing. I'm telling you right now. But you know what? There's some of you that own things and you have things that you say, you know what? That was a God thing that we got that. Maybe it's your house. The house we live in right now in Lancaster was a God thing. I don't have time. But it is unbelievable. We are 7/10 of a mile from the campus and from the church. And yet you look out over our property and it looks like you're 20 miles away and in the middle of the desert looking at mountains. It is amazing the house that God gave us to live in. And I thank the Lord for that. And those are good. Those are memorials. How He provided places, possessions, people. There's certain people. We talked about Hushai last night. There's certain people that God brings into our lives at different times that is a memorial. Hey, tonight, there's a man in the back. His name is John Edmonds. He's the principal up there at Temple Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you something. John Edmonds in my life is like a memorial. I mean, him and his family are back there right now. John came to First Baptist of Santa Maria at a time I needed him. And God provided. And I just look at John Edmonds and I go, thank you, Lord. You were so gracious that I could work with that man. And you know what? God, memorials can be places. It can be possessions. It can be people. It can be promises of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, this is the coolest thing. I told the students in my class, I told them in Joshua class, I said, listen, you guys all bring a rock. I'm going to preach on this. And they all brought rocks, and we all wrote down verses. We took a little Sharpie and wrote down a verse that God has done something. We look back over like Philippians 4:13, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Whatever it was a verse that God did. And I said, college students, let that stone be a memorial to you. Let those promises of God that God has, and you go back through the Bible. And if you have one of those old Bibles, man, you've had for years, and you've got it all marked out, you go, oh, wow, I remember that verse. Oh, man, I remember that verse. Man, I needed that verse right at the right. You know what those are? Those are memorials. And we need to remember to rejoice. We need to build memorials and remember to rejoice. Number two thing that happened there. Number one was they remember to rejoice. They built memorials. Number two, and this is the key one, die to self. Die to self. Now, look at chapter 5 in verse number 1. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of the Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. If you have a pen, right next to that verse, Numbers chapter 13, verse 33, and put the word, wow. Their heart melted. Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. That's when the spies came back. And when the spies came back, they came back and they said, hey, yeah, surely it's flowing milk and honey. Look at the size of these grapes. But let me tell you something. We were over there and we saw the Hittites. We saw the Jebusites. We saw the Moabites. We saw the mosquito bites. And we saw the electric lights. And I'm going to tell you something, man. We were like grasshoppers. And our hearts melted within us. We're never going to take them. Now, let me tell you something. 40 years later, the people that were dwelling in the land, they didn't shrink. The people of God started believing in a bigger God. And you know what? There is a world of difference between Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, and Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. And the only difference that occurred was the way that we looked at God. And what a difference. Their hearts melted. Verse number 2. At that time, the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel. Now, brother, this is again. Hold on. Well, it all explains it. You know what? Because of time, let's just jump down to verse 7. Let me tell you what happens here. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way. For the last 40 years, every young man that was born, they didn't circumcise. Now they're at Gilgal. They build a memorial, remember to rejoice. And now number 2, if you're going to experience revival, learn to die to self. Look what happens in verse 8. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. Now listen to verse 9. I have a question. Whose shame are we talking about here? And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach, the shame of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of that place is called Gilgal unto this day. The whole picture here of circumcision is the rolling away. And what he says here, is he says, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. Whose reproach? Whose shame? Well, that'd be the people of Israel. Though I'm sure that they were shameful about the way that they lived for the last 40 years. Well, it would be Egypt. It would be the way that Egypt looked at them and the way they'd say, hey, your God got you out of Egypt and he kept you in the wilderness. He's not that big a God. That's a good answer, and I think there's partially right. But can I tell you whose shame he rolled away? His own, on the people of Israel. I've had three boys. I love my three boys. But have my three boys ever put me to shame? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Brother Shelley, what are you saying here? I'm going to tell you what I'm saying. At Gilgal, when they circumcised the males, God says, you know what? Now you mean business again. And now, listen, I'm not ashamed of you anymore. You're living the way you're supposed to live now. You have died to yourself. And I will tell you, if you've got any space in your Bible, right next to that verse, Galatians 2:20. Because this is, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Gilgal was their Galatians 2:20. Gilgal was when they said, we're going to die to ourselves. And it's pictured through the circumcision. Now let me tell you something about dying to yourself. Number one, it's painful. And we got some 40-year-old men here getting circumcised. I guarantee you, it was painful. It was painful. And when you die to yourself, it's going to be painful. Let me tell you, number two, it's total commitment. When you go under the knife, you are totally committed. Number three, when you die to yourself, listen to this one, you become very vulnerable. You know, Brother Shelley, if I die to myself in the marriage, my husband will treat me like a doormat. If I die to self at work, those fellow workers are going to take advantage of me. When you die to yourself, my friend, you become very vulnerable. Listen to this. They get out, they cross the Jordan. We just read verse 1. Everybody's heart is melted. All the kings are going like, did you hear the river Jordan during this flood time stopped? Oh, this is terrible. This is not good. These people are here. They got God's power behind them. They're going to take us all over. When would be, humanly thinking, the time to go get them? Right then. There's momentum going. It's like Joshua says, let's get going, guys. We got them scared. We got them on the run. Let's get going in this land and let's take it. God says, you're going nowhere. You're going to, first of all, die to self. Because I'm not blessing you. There's no Jericho coming down. There's no Ai to take victory over. There's no wins in this country until you learn to die to yourself. And I will tell you, you will never get to Joshua 6 over Jericho if you haven't gotten to Gilgal in chapter 5. And you have got to learn how to die to yourself. Do you realize that during the time that these men are healing? Yeah, I was thinking about this during the summer. And I'm thinking to myself, wow. During the time these men are healing, the nation of Israel is totally vulnerable to attack. Every group, every nation in the promised land could have come and destroyed Israel during this time. They had just had surgery. I mean, we got 20-year-old men that can't move. We've got people that are totally vulnerable because of what? And I thought, wow, what a picture of dying to self. God, I am totally helpless. I need you. God, no matter what happens right now, I know I could become very vulnerable right now. Lord, but I want to die to self. That's what it means to have the victory. That's what it means to have revival. You remember to rejoice, number two, you die to self. Number three, you obey his word. You obey his word. Look at verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even in the plains of Jericho. I love this. They obeyed his word to the very T. They did whatever God told them. They were ready to start serving the Lord. And I will tell you, when you will have revival, when you start obeying the word in your life, we really don't need to be taught new truths from the Bible. We just need to start obeying the old truths we know. And that's what's going to bring revival. As soon as you start obeying his word, look at this. They had the Passover according to his word. The right date, the right dedication, and the right desire. I mean, they were meant business here. God, all we want to do is start obeying your word. Whatever your word says, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it to the very letter. This is the day we're going to have the Passover. The 14th, just the way we're supposed to do it, God, and we're going to do it right. We're going to obey your word. If you want revival, remember to rejoice. Die to self and obey his word. Number four, and we're done. Take your responsibility. Take your responsibility. Okay. So this summer, I'm studying this passage. And look at verse 11. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow. After the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the sale, same day. And the, would you all say with me the next two words? And the manna ceased. On the morrow, after that had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Well, I got to tell you, when I was reading that, I was a little sad. Man, they're not going to have Snickers bars now until 3,000 years later. That's what manna was Snickers bars. You know that, amen. You like that one, didn't you, man? Amen. Finally woke up there, brother. Amen. Amen. And I was reading this summer, and I went like, oh, wow. Well, they built a memorial. That's a good thing. And they had that circumcision thing. They died to self. That's praise the Lord. And they had Passover. So, you know, one bad thing out of four, that ain't bad. Oh, no. This was good. No. Brother Scheller, manna was from heaven. It was. And every day, God gave them the manna. It's kind of like having an IV. They just sat there and God fed them, took care of them. They didn't have to do anything. Manna ceased, though. So now, they're responsible for their own food. And my friend, this is not a bad thing at all. Because the promised land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. There is only one thing greater than hearing a great truth from the Bible. It's finding a great truth in the Bible. And I will tell you, we have a Christianity today that comes to church and say, okay, Pastor Weaver, feed me. Just put the IV in, man, my Sunday school class. And you know what? We have lost one of the greatest experiences of our Christian life. We just want manna instead of us going out there and finding the food. This is a great thing, man. They had to take responsibility now. And now, friend, by the way, I gave you the cities, the vineyards are already there, but you've got to take responsibility and you've got to go get it yourself. Well, bless God, tonight ends Bible conference. It doesn't have to. Why don't you start having your own Bible conference? Why don't you get in God's Word tomorrow and you take responsibility for your own spiritual life and start saying, you know what? It's not up to Brother Weaver. It's up to the Holy Spirit to show me what I need tomorrow. This is not a bad thing that the manna ceased. Because now it's no longer God IVing their food. Now they have to go out and get their food. My friend, I will tell you, revival will come to anyone's soul when they experience Gilgal. When they remember to rejoice, when they die to self, when they obey his word, and when they take the responsibility for their own spiritual life, you will have revival and the victorious Christian life begins. We look at the book of Joshua, we saw that Jericho thing. So how about when the sun stands still? Oh man, all these victories and all these cities of refuge and oh man, what a book! It all hinges on Gilgal. And I will tell you, some of you have been saved for a long time and you've been wandering in the wilderness. It's time for you to have a Galatians 2:20 and start living in Gilgal. Father, I pray that this church, Lord, I look forward to hearing things from Worth Baptist Church that revival didn't start at the Bible conference. But Lord, that it began to work in the hearts of these people, and that, Father, that every individual, every teenager that's here tonight would have a Gilgal experience. that every senior saint that maybe, Lord, has been in the victorious Christian life for some time, maybe they need to go back to Gilgal just like Israel did. Father, I pray that we would build our memorials, that we would die to self, that we would obey your word, and that we would take responsibility for our Christian life. And oh, Lord, give us victory in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.